And this week's episode of Studio Inter will be reviewing the goalless draw in the Coppa Italia first leg semi-final against Milan. We'll be discussing the 5-0 rout against Salernitana. We'll be previewing the Liverpool games and the Torino game. Moggi, Moratti and Frog, and much, much more. Everything here on Studio Inter, only on sempreinter.com.
He's got Dzeko in the middle. Dzeko again! And it is number 5. Lautaro with a hat-trick. Dzeko with a double.
Benvenuti, bentornati to another edition of Studio Inter. Pat yourselves on the back. You survived another week so that you can listen to us. And we are going, it's going to be a very interesting episode because we've got quite a bit to talk about because it's been a rather interesting week. But before I get to all of that, let me begin by introducing my panelists. I'd like to start with our good friend over in Egypt who writes the SempreInter.com previews, Mr. Mohamed Nasser, Mr. Positivity. I suspect you are really positive this week.
Yeah, no, it's definitely times than the last couple of times we've been recording. So yeah, happy to get into the episode and let's go.
Let's go. And we're joined by our good friend from Texas, Mr. Mike Pilucci. See, I'm not even going to go on Houston and Dallas anymore because I know I'm just going to fuck
it up.
You
just give it up. You're
just I'm just going to say Texas.
That's fair enough. Yeah, no, I get that. Good to be back. Good to see Mr. Positivity. Good to do a show with Alex. I feel like we've never been on at the same time. So we get a little American interrepresentation on here today. Excited for the show.
Well, exactly. You alluded to it. And so let me welcome him back. He's not been on for quite a long time. He is Miami. He's host of the Dono Daily at 3 p.m. Mondays to Fridays and Five Rings Canes on Five Reasons Sports. I don't know what any of that means, but I'm sure he'll explain what it means. Welcome back, Alex Dono.
I can't even explain it, but no, it's so great to be back. And I had even told Nima, I'm only going to come back if I can be on the same episode with Mike so we can have the American connection. And of course, Mo, it's written in my contract that Mo and I have to be on the same episodes because I need the positivity in my life. So I'm happy to do that.
We all rely on him. Absolutely. I mean, let's start with the Coppa Italia game because I jumped the gun a little bit on last week's episode when I said that the game against Genoa was rock bottom. No. That derby was the worst derby since the goalless derby with Mexes and Ranocchia as captains. It was banter era derby. Two dreadful teams, genuinely dreadful teams. Who couldn't score to save their lives. And Milan had enough chances to score, whilst Inter were just, they look hungover for 90 minutes. It was absolutely awful. I want to start with you, Mo. Is there anything positive from that game? Like when you watched it immediately afterwards, what was your thoughts? And was there anything positive to take away from that game, other than the result, of course?
Yeah, I was just going to say, nothing but the result. Honestly, It was definitely, you know, like I say, a match to forget, you know, it's in the past. But on the one hand, you know, it was an awful showing, of course. But on the other hand, it's quite understandable. Like when you look at the run of games the team has had since the beginning of the new year, it's been insane. This is probably the most difficult run of matches in a singular sequence that I've witnessed Inter go through. In however many years that, as far as I can remember,
yeah.
So it's understandable that you know they're spent, they're completely spent, and thank God there was the weekend, you know, to bounce back from. But there's nothing, no redeeming features to this game at all.
No, it really wasn't. I mean, I couldn't even think of anything positive. It was just dreadful. And they, you know, it's one of those things that I think now. I still think that Milan will go through the final. I want to ask Mike and Alex about it as well. I want to start with you, Alex. Aside from the result, was there anything positive to take away? And do you think that it's a slight advantage for Milan going forward because of the fact that Inter didn't score? And so now, for some reason, you know, you have the the away goals rule in the Coppa Italia when two teams are from Milan, even though everyone else has gotten rid of it. If anything screams Italy, it is that. But I wanted to, like, what do you make of it?
Oh, it was a dreadful experience watching that match. Like, and I adjusted my schedule just so I could watch it. I didn't feel great going in, of course, because of the form Inter had been in. If I really want to reach for positives, obviously you and Mo touched on the fact that, you know, a 0-0 draw is not the worst result. It does, like you said, it favors Milan because of the ridiculous away goals rule. But it could have been a lot worse than 0-0. And on that point, I guess if you look at it from an Inter perspective, you can take away the positive in that Milan were not clinical enough to take advantage of one of the worst Inters we've seen in years. Like, they really, because Milan created, they had so many better chances, but they weren't clinical enough. I mean, I thought that, like, in the run of play, I thought Rafael Leal was pretty brilliant, but his finishing was piss poor. So the fact that Milan couldn't take, you know, even one goal away from that match, I think you can look at it as a positive for Inter. But, you know, obviously, it's hard to really say. Of course, statistically now Milan would have the advantage in going through, but it's hard to really predict, because if Inter can actually find some form in the next month, then maybe we go into the second leg with a little bit of a different perspective. Maybe I'll take a page out of Mo's playbook. I've not completely closed the book on moving through to the Coppa Italia final. Obviously, I would much more prioritize collecting points in the Serie A towards a potential Scudetto over than a Coppa Italia final. Mm. But I would like to put ourselves in position to win as many trophies as possible.
Absolutely. What about, just briefly before we move on, Mike, what do you make of Inter's chances going to the final? I think it's 55% Milan, 45% Inter, but it's such a long time away. We're talking April 20th. It's like 6 weeks away, so it's impossible to say. The format of this cup is so deranged, by the way. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's really weird. But I think your percentages are right. The nice thing for Inter is they are going to, we'll talk about this. We talk about Salernitana. I think a lot of what helped from this result is just probably being able to build some momentum. Well, if you look at who Inter play prior to that April 20th match, it's Verona and it's Spezia. That should be 6 points. That's going to be a very soft 2 weeks. So I would say that Inter, ideally are going into this with a little momentum. Milan's playing Torino and Genoa. Those are going to be comparably a little more difficult. So I'd say 55-45 only because of the away goal rule. But, you guys heard me last week. I will doubt this Milan team all year long. I just don't think they are better than Inter in spite of what we've seen so far. One of these days I'm going to be right, or I'm going to put my head through a wall. So I'll agree with you on the math, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Inter go through, because I think they're better and they'll have had a soft couple weeks leading up to this.
For sure. That's great. And the less said about that game, the better, as Mo began. So let's move on to something much, 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 much better. And that is the performance. I mean, when you look at the game and you look at the result, 5-0, that's great. But for me, the thing that I take away the most is the performance and the attitude and the way that I know Salernitana, everyone's going to say, but it's just Salernitana. Yes, it is just Salernitana. And I guess, I think I was I was tweeting with saying that Salernitana are like that friend who, it's like a TV show where you have like this mean girl who is friends with a fat girl to make herself feel better. Like, that's what Salernitana is, essentially. Like
a slump buster.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. But you know what I mean? Like, because they're so awful. They are so dreadful. And to Mike's point, how Milan drew against these guys is beyond me, because they are absolutely dreadful. But having said that, look, I feel for me, the performance, there's a couple of things, and I want to discuss them all, from Robin Gosens coming on to the performance itself, the attitude, the movement, Barella, who I thought was outstanding. Everything looked better from that. But I mean, if I were to begin with you, Mo, what is in your opinion the most positive thing? And then I want to ask everyone else as well.
Yeah, for me, honestly, Nima, it's seeing the relief and the pressure lifted off of both Lautaro and Dzeko's shoulders after having scored. I think this could possibly be one of those. We've had a few of those, you know, turning point moments in the season so far. But I think you could tell the emotion on Lautaro's his entire, you know, body language disposition after he scored the opener. I mean, after he hit the crossbar with the first with that first chance, it felt like, oh shit, this is happening again. You know, it's all over. Here we go again. But then after he scored that first goal, it felt like everything sort of melted away, all the negativity. And like you say, the performance thereafter was Inter. Was the Inter of Inzaghi. It was fun. It was in control. It was commanding. So I think for me, the biggest positive thing to come out of this is not only just scoring, but both Lautaro and Dzeko scoring. Lautaro with that hat-trick, Dzeko with the brace. Couldn't have asked for more.
Oh, no, for sure. What about you, Alex? What is the most positive thing that you take away from this?
Well, I will second everything the Mo said, and I will also throw in Barella, who had just a brilliant performance, had a couple of big assists to Lautaro on his first two goals, I should say, had could have assisted that header as well. So I thought he was brilliant. I think that performance, because obviously, like you mentioned, it's Salernitana. It's not exactly one of the heavyweights in Serie A, but still, Inter could have easily sleepwalked through this game and maybe escaped with a 1-0 victory. And I think that the way that this match played out, it really does show that so many of the issues that Inter had in the month of February were, you know, a combination of a very rigorous fixtures list and also just a loss of confidence. I think it was mentally the issues that they faced, because even, you know, it finally it felt like forever because how many chances they created and couldn't finish. But it took Inter 22 minutes to actually get the ball in the back of the net. And it felt like 45 minutes the way that, you know, how many chances they created and couldn't finish. And then it was like a weight was lifted off Inter's shoulders, off Lautaro's shoulders, off Barella's shoulders. And then Dzeko gets a couple of goals in the second half. He needed that performance. Lautaro needed it. Barella needed it. The entire team really, really needed this. And it was such a welcome sight to see, because for as bad as the entire month of February was, the early part of the month, Inter were creating chances, just not finishing anything. And then in the later part of the month, when you got to the Genoa game and then the Milan game, not only were they not scoring, they weren't even creating anymore. So that was what got me more concerned, right? Because the first few fixtures of the month where you could say, hey, eventually these chances will start going in, but then the chances stopped coming. So to have a match like this where everything clicks, I think this was so important. And I hope they can take the momentum from this into the future.
Oh, absolutely. I think just a point on Barella, he was behind literally everything Inter did. If he wasn't doing actual assists, he was doing the ice hockey secondary assists for both of those for another 2-3 goals. He was outstanding. And I don't know if, and I want to talk about the positional change that he and Çalhanoğlu had, which I thought was really interesting. It felt like Barella was a little bit further up the pitch and Çalhanoğlu was a little further down the pitch. Which I thought was an interesting trait, which we're going to talk about as well. But Lautaro's hat trick after he hits the bar and misses a couple of sitters again, the goals, I mean, will obviously do work wonders for his confidence. But I mean, Mike, moving forward, what would you say to those who say it was just Salernitana?
I mean, well, first of all, I would say that Lautaro clearly listened to Reverend Mike's Moji last week. It's the only explanation, gentlemen. but, you know, look, it's, you know, we talked about this last week, and I think Alex certainly covered some of it just now. So much of this stuff is mental, right? This team suddenly didn't become bad. This team isn't, you know, didn't go from the runaway favorites to win the league to, you know, can't score goals overnight. It's all form, you know? It's the classic saying of, you know, class is permanent, form is temporary. And in the case of Salernitana, no, it's a weaker opponent. But Lautaro, more than most, I think, runs hot and cold, and he runs on confidence. And this team didn't have a lot of confidence. He didn't either. So if nothing else, it's just the weight is off his shoulders because he had gone through such a long stretch without getting the ball in the net. If nothing else, that clock goes back down to zero, right? I think really for him, but also you know, if you're asking me what the positive I took for this game is, I think Mo and Alex covered some great stuff, but I thought it was telling that it wasn't just a team-wide response, but if you were making a list of some of the guys you wanted to see responding to things, they all did stuff, right? You wanted to see Lautaro put the ball in the net. He did it 3 times. You wanted to see Dzeko, after we talked last week about, man, they are leaning a lot on a 36-year-old man. How much gas does he have to get through the rest of the season? Looks better than he had in weeks, you know, puts 2 in the net. You want Nicolò Barella, who really has not stopped playing for 2 years. No, I mean, nobody's been more worked in this midfield than he has, both in the league and internationally. He looks like Nicolò Barella. And when he looks like Nicolò Barella, with all due respect to Çalhanoğlu, with all due respect to Brozovic, Barella is the best midfielder on this team. He is a different kind of guy. And he looked like that guy for the first time in a while yesterday. And then coming off the bench, what do you want to see from Robin Gosens? Just some flicker that this is going to be fun. And poof, comes in, puts in a beautiful assist to Dzeko. So it was so many guys who you wanted to see. Because, you know, like an Alessandro Bastoni, he played well, but I haven't been worried about Alessandro Bastoni. I've been a little bit worried about those first 3 guys. And then you just want to see what the new guy does. Even Tuku Correa comes off the bench and, you know, flubs chances because he's Correa. That's what he does. But he looked lively. He was involved in things. And you could see right away that he adds that dynamism that most of the rest of this team can't do. So was a great response. It was the response we wanted to see, but it was also the response we wanted to see from pretty much every guy who you started wondering about for the last month and a half.
I couldn't agree more. And I want to touch on that Robin Gosens thing, because that is my favorite thing from that game. It is to see that it was to see that he's fit, and it was to see how he fits into this team. And him on that left wing, as a left wing back role, you saw a little glimpse of what this guy can do. He can dribble. He is strong in the air. He can shoot. He can do his man. He can turn inside. He can work with the right. He's a complete wing back. Inter have bought a world beater. It's as simple as that. When he's fit, I can't think of many other better left wing backs in the world than Robin Gosens. And Inter have him. And with Dumfries on the right, who was marauding as well, those two together is going to be interesting, and it's going to be difficult, because another aspect is that they're both really, really strong in the air, meaning that they can help out from when the other side is crossing in. They actually are really good at winning the ball in the air and heading it downwards and winning that, and they've got a decent shot on them, both of them. This is I'm impressed. I am very impressed by him, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. And also the fact that we have a world-class German left wing back, for those of us who became Interisti. Yes. Mo, me, you guys. I mean, it's special for us. It really is.
You know what else is nice? And I'm presuming we are going to live in a world in which Ivan Perisic does renew. I think that one of the biggest misconceptions between those of us who follow this club closely and just the outside perception, even among folks who follow the league, nothing exhausts me more than when people talk about the depth this squad has, because they don't. They really haven't for most of the last 2 years. And those of us who watch them know that. And I think a lot of what will happen this summer, if the things that keep being rumored on the market, credibly rumored, happen, is not just that Inter's 11 will get better, but that we will see some real depth in the squad for a while. And man, if you talk about what real depth looks like, you know, what real depth that teams who compete in Europe have, if your wingbacks are Gosens and Dumfries, Perisic and Darmian, that's depth. That's what a really good team has. 4 guys, you know, of varying quality, but all 4 who can play, who really, think about it this way, right? Ivan Perisic goes down with a muscle strain. He's been maybe Inter's best player all year. Well, you know what? Robin Gosens is here. It's going to be okay. And that's exciting for me, not just what Gosens could do, but just the implication of the next year or two of, if the rest of the squad can get to that kind of level, then this team really can start competing on multiple fronts versus just, you know, trying to win it domestically and then looking overwhelmed when they get to Europe.
Absolutely. And Mo, I want to touch a little bit about Robin Gosens with you. I mean, I can only imagine how you felt watching that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you summed it up very nicely, Nima, man. It's a special thing. We haven't had a world-beating German in the squad since when we started loving the squad. I've got to be honest. When Podolski signed during the second Mancini stint, I was very excited because he's a German signing for Inter. And unfortunately, it didn't pan out the same way. But Robin Gosens looks like he's a great real deal. I like how he for sure learned from his mistake in rushing back at Atalanta with his thigh strain, and he's taking himself taking his recovery seriously, because we need this guy on the left flank. I also like what Michael just said about true depth. You know, true depth isn't in numbers, it's in quality, and in quality where it matters the most. And if we do have these four top tier wing backs on the left and right flank next year, it's serious business. So yeah, no, Gosens is a very, very good sign, like you said.
I want to ask you all, and I'll start with you, Alex. Matteo Darmian, I know you really loved him, and so did I. I thought he was outstanding. One thing, I mean, he's such a utility guy for Inter, isn't he? Excuse me. He's such a utility guy because he just comes in and he just does what he does, and it's all, you know what you get from him. It's never, he's not a liability. He's not the best player on the pitch. You always get this a decently high level from him. But one thing I'm thinking is he can also play as a central defender to the left. He did under Antonio Conte. And, you know, for whatever reason, whatever problems Di Marco has, and if you're going to, you know, with Gosens on the left, and if you want to rest Bastoni, or if someone's injured, you can even play Bastoni in the middle and Darmian as a left central defender. And then you've got Ivan Perisic that I think, and I know Mike thinks as well, I would love to see him in a number 10 role, given how well he's played this season and how good he's been and his ability to be all over the pitch, and create and defend. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, where do you see him in this Inter? And do you think he has a role to play, you know, aside from maybe just a utility guy and maybe even help out as a left center back?
He could certainly deputize there, the same way he can deputize at left wing back and right wing back. I think he's destined to be the Swiss Army knife. Every time he plays, he just reminds me that, wow, I wish I could see him on the pitch more. But I also kind of understand why we don't, right? Because most days he's not better than Ivan Perisic. Most days he's not better than Denzel Dumfries. And credit to Dumfries, because he's had to work his way into that role, because early in the season, Dumfries clearly wasn't ready. Darmian was, but now we're kind of seeing that role switch a little bit. But I like your idea about left center back. And it's a role we've seen him play before, because I just, outside of free kicks, dead balls, I don't really see what Di Marco is better at than Matteo Darmian. Like, he's a much better version of that. And I kind of look at Darmian as, you know, really what Danilo D'Ambrosio used to be, but on steroids, right? A guy that, you know, usually when he gets his opportunities to play, he makes the most of it. I think Darmian even has more class than D'Ambrosio in his prime. I'm all for it. I mean, I really don't see a starting role on him in Inter's best 11, but I see him as someone who's capable of plugging and play at least three different positions, which is a very valuable. You need players like that when you're in three, four competitions.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, let's speaking of competitions and three, four competitions, it's the Champions League game on Tuesday. We're recording this on a Saturday evening, my time, CET. It is the Liverpool game on Tuesday. And look, I'm gonna leave the. I want to ask all of you, and I'll start with you, Mike. I mean, send the primavera, right? I mean, it's just, what's the point here? I mean, I don't like to say we're defeated beforehand, but come on, right?
Listen, I said it last week. Give Kolarov his send off. Let's get Alex Cordaz out there. Haven't seen him all year. Who else we got? Anybody who's gathering dust? It's Tommaso Berni. Can we get him back on the payroll for a night? Let's send them all out there. Let's go. There is no shame with where this Inter is. A team that is not as good as last year. A team that won't be as good as it is next year. But is still, you know, I would still think the favorite or the top two favorites to win the league has a very good chance of winning the Coppa Italia. You got to pick your battles. This team doesn't have the depth to compete. They're going to Anfield down two goals against one of the three best teams in the world. This isn't a concession. This is just smart business. You know, this is, you got to pick your battles, and there's a real chance of a domestic double. And it's been We're talking since the treble year that we've seen that. So I don't want to squander that just for what? To some consolation prize you didn't get blown out by a team that's going through anyways? No, forget that. Just send them all. Send to anybody you don't want to use. So help me, if Ed Njoku plays a minute in this match, I'm going to lose my mind because that guy needs a break in the worst way. Yeah, this should be the easiest decision of the week. Just bench everybody.
I'm with you. What about you? I suspect Mo takes a different approach. Where are you on this, Mo?
Yeah, I quite right, Nima. I disagree. I think we just watched Liverpool struggle to beat West Ham 1-0 at home. They're not invincible, and their eyes on much more precarious league battle in the Premiership themselves with City. So I think the game is there for the taking. I mean, sure, you're right. 2-0 at home, a 2-0 loss, taking it to Anfield is, it's no good, no bueno. But it's not insurmountable, and I think it's not uninsurmountable. And I think we owe it to the percorso to to go for it,
Mohamed Conte. Mohamed Conte in the house.
Yeah, no, I think we learn from everyone, We learn from every manager that comes. We learn from Spalletti, Senza Tregua. We learn from Conte, that it's a percorso. Every manager leaves a bit of themselves in the team. And honestly, I think I understand where you're coming from, Mike. I don't think it's these 90 minutes that are going to blow the Serie A season for Inter. I don't think a 90-minute game midweek is going to kill the squad.
Let me just play the devil's advocate here a little bit. My issue is that if Inter go through, I think the squad is already stretched. Because I agree with Mike that Inter, I think we all agree that the so-called depth that Inter have is maybe a good Serie A depth. But yeah, it's not a depth that can compete on three fronts. And I think you'd 100%. Be risking. Yeah, yeah. No, go.
No, but I know what you're saying. Like, assuming we go through, then what? Yeah. Then what? I understand, then what? But also, the fact that you become, Champions League, quarter finalists or whatever, that would also mean that the team would gain experience, gain confidence, gain knowledge that they can transfer back to the Serie A.
True.
I don't mind that part. My thing is, and we'll talk about this with Torino, that Torino fixture is not going to be easy. Yeah. And this team needs every point they can get right now. So I do disagree with you, Mo, that those 90 minutes can be very costly to me. So 90 minutes for what? A single-digit percent chance relative to maximizing what should be a tricky road fixture, because that to me is a no-brainer. This team can and should win the league. I want to do whatever it can to maximize that versus some flicker of a chance against a team that very easily, even if it did bring their best 11, could lose by 2 or 3 in Anfield. Liverpool are that good.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I'm not saying I don't understand where you're coming from. It's just that I see it differently. I see that if you're an ambitious team and you have the means, as think we do, I think you owe it to the road to treat this game with ambition, with drive, with challenge, with whatever. I just that's my, but I also agree with what you're saying. So if Inzaghi puts on Kolarov, if he puts on Cordaz, if Ranocchia plays at the center of defense, if we got Gagliardini, Vidal, and Vitino in the center of midfield, I'm not gonna be complaining. It's fine, I get it.
But I would actively love to see how many goals that team leaves. For the record, I don't think they're gonna do that. I don't think they're gonna do what Nima and I want. I do think they are gonna at least put out most of their starting 11 and try. And
that's what I'm scared of.
I think they're going to. I mean, they made some noise about they'll do their best this week, right? Yeah. And that's a choice. We won't know how that fares until later in the year. If they, if they do that and it doesn't matter, then okay. And Mo is totally right. But if they look gassed the next 2 weeks when a league-winning team should take 6 points from Fiorentina and Torino, I'm going to be pretty upset.
No, I agree. Like, I 100% agree. If this, if this match is at the expense of winning the league, for sure, I 100% don't put the strongest team, rest your players, yeah. It's gone. But I don't think it is. That's where we differ. You know, I don't believe it is. I think that pushing for the win, putting in a good performance when you're mentally regaining your composure, so on and so forth, could possibly add more to the team beyond just some physical exhaustion that they can then take on a league winning run.
Alex, I want to hear from you on this.
Well, forget about Ranocchi at center back. I want to see Ranocchi at center forward. line him up in the Dzeko role.
Alex Dono just wants to see the world burn.
I mean, listen, Ranocchi has a dangerous head and dangerous legs. I've seen him score some bangers, you know, once every 3 or 4 years.
We don't need that up in Coppa Italia, though. We're out of those this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, listen, I certainly understand Mo's perspective. I tend to agree with Nima and Mike, but I honestly think in this case, I think Mo is right. And Nima, you touched on it. I think for better or for worse, I think Simone Inzaghi is going to go for it here. I worry about what this match can do to tired legs and also what this match can do to confidence. And that goes both ways. I mean, if Inter have, you know, an incredible performance and maybe it's an exciting draw or like a one goal victory that's not enough to go through. I'm not expecting that, but I'm just thinking out loud here. Then yeah, maybe that could do like wonders to being another turning point for the team. But then I also look at it the other way. If you go to Anfield and get humiliated, which very well could happen, does that have lingering mental effects on the squad?
That is true. That is also very, very true. Let us know, you guys listening. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know in the comments on YouTube and also on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, wherever you see this post. And let us know what you guys think, because we would love to hear from you. What are you thinking to should do? Should Simone Inzaghi rest the players and basically just try to keep it respectable, or should he go for it? Because let's move on. Because next week they are playing my bromance. The everyone who follows me on social media knows that for the last 3 years I have had a giant bromance with the coach of Inter's next opposition, the Torino coach, Mr. Ivan Juric, who I think that honestly, if Inter were to replace anyone replace Simone Inzaghi with anyone, this is my guy. I think the football he plays, the high pressing intensity, the back three, the way he uses the 3-4-2-1, I really like him. I really, really like him. And I remember in Christmas, just before Christmas, when Inter played them, when Inter were in brilliant form, they caused Inter the most problems. So I'm worried about this game. I'm really worried about this game. I'm going to start with you, Mo. Are you worried about this game? Because I kind of am.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about everything at the moment. You know, it's sure.
Come on, Mo. We need better than that. Vibes.
But I mean, you know, in all seriousness, the Salernitana game was great, but it was one match. In a run of six, I think, winless games across all competitions, four without scoring a single goal. If the Inter of Salernitana show up against Torino, they're gonna win for sure. It's the best team in the league by quite a margin, I believe. Inter, the right Inter. But, if for whatever reason, you know, midweek, a shameful blowout against Liverpool, injuries, fatigue, whatever, then, you know, it's a tough game. Like you said, Juric is no joke. Torino is a decent squad. It's going to be a tough game. I think ultimately, there has been a corner that's been turned, I think, in terms of at least goal conversion. So I think we'll probably take the 3 points, but it's not going to be easy.
For sure. And a certain Gallo Belotti is hitting form again. Alex, you know how I feel about Juric, and I know you appreciate him as well. Is this, I don't like this at all.
Yeah, it's a deceptively difficult match. You know, Torino, they've not been getting the results lately. I think they're five matches winless, but they're obviously the style that they play and how well coached they are. They can give everybody trouble. I mean, ask Juventini about how much trouble they can give you in recent months. So it's a nerve-wracking performance. And I think just though to echo what Mo was saying, I think this one it's going to be, to me, more about Inter than it is about Torino. Have Inter really snapped out of their funk, or was that just a one-off? Because we've seen them some years pull off 5-0 victories against poor sides and then come out and lay an egg, you know, the next league match. So I think, to me, I mean, even if Torino have a great performance, Inter will be the more talented squad and they should win. But I just hope it's not going to be one of these frustrating games where, you know, Inter are creating chances and not scoring them. So I don't think it's going to be any sort of a blowout, you know, as it wasn't the last time around. I think this is going to end up being probably a 2-1 type of match, hopefully in Inter's favor.
I hope so. I can't shake off the 1-1 draw thing, because this is Torino away, and I remember how much Conte struggled away against, like, last season. He won against them both times, because he has an excellent record against Torino, but that was an awful, dreadful Torino, not Ivan Juric Torino. This is usually a draw fixture. I can't shake off the 1-0 draw. What are your thoughts, Mike?
I'm kind of where you are. I think it's 1-1 all draw. I, you know, not even just a matter of Juric being there, but also, you know, we've talked before about how when Inter grows stagnant, it's been harder for them to create chances through the middle of the pitch. Well, Bremer has arguably been the best center back in Italy this year, so it's not going to get a lot easier next week. I think, you know, I will flip this on its head, though, about the doom and gloom. If Inter go into this fixture and they do get 3 points on the road against that team, I suddenly feel pretty good about where this club is at right now. Because then at that point, it's, number one, there are only so many tough fixtures left in the year in the league. You have Juventus, but there isn't much for a while after that. But two, it sort of shows that, okay, you know, even when Inter were wasteful in the fall when they're on a great run, they found ways to get the 3 points. If Inter follow up Salernitana with going and winning this fixture, I feel a lot better about Inzaghi has steadied the ship about as well as it can. So I'm presuming a 1-1 draw, which I don't think is the end of the world. But if they get the 3 points, then I'm feeling really good about where they're going to be for the next month or so.
I couldn't agree with you more. And also, I want to ask you, Mo, about predictions for this game. And I also want you to predict the Liverpool game. I'm going to say, I think Liverpool is going to win 2-0. And I think we're drawing 1-1 away against Torino. What about you, Mo?
Yeah, I think we're going to lose 2-1 to Liverpool. I don't think we're going to be shut out for both games. So I think we're going to lose 2-1. It's going to be a valiant effort. Maybe even, you know, take the lead and then they equalize and then they score a goal at the end. But I think we're going to lose. I think against Torino, let's put what was Inter's result against Verona last year? I think Skriniar is the guy who scored the goal when we played Verona at the Bentegodi, and it was Juric at Verona, and it was a tough, tough game. Everybody was dropping points at the Bentegodi, but Inter didn't. I think it's going to be one of those games where it's a set piece that makes the difference, either a 1-0 or a 2-1, a set piece making the difference with someone like a Skriniar or a D'Ambrosio, you know, doing the Lord's work.
I hope so. I hope so as well. I'll just quickly, Alex and Mike, I want to start with you, Alex. What do you think of the Liverpool game?
I'm going to say, to be nice, I'll say 3-1 Liverpool and not 3-0. maybe now that Inter have remembered how to score goals again, they get one. I don't think they're going to do much better than that, unfortunately. But I'll be more optimistic, more in tune with Mo on Torino. I'm going to go 2-1 Inter. We'll exchange goals early, and then, you know, 75th, 80th minute game winning type of goal from Inter. So I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic on that one.
I like what I hear. What about you? What about you, Mike? Where are you on the Liverpool game?
Yeah, somewhere in the spectrum of you and Alex. You could talk me into 2-0 Liverpool or 3-0 or 3-1. I don't think it's going to be close. I hope it's not 3-0. I don't want, you know, I forget which one of us was saying it, but if you send the 11 out there and they lose 3-0, even against a team that good, that doesn't make you feel good. So I just don't want anything that undoes any forward momentum domestically. And then I'll stick with the 1-1 draw and hope that I'm wrong. I do think, I don't know, I don't think this is one of those matches like Sassuolo where they outright lose. I can't see that happening. So it's really just a matter for me of whether it's a draw or they get all three.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm with you on that. Right, let's move on to the part of the show where we pay tribute, rip the piss out of, criticize someone or something heavily in the world of football, starting with the positivity. This week's Moratti, which we presented by Mr. Mohamed Nasser.
He works a lot, he's intelligent, and he surprises people sometimes with his ideas. Not easy to find one person of this qualities.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be anyone but Lautaro. The striker is back. He loves the team. The curva loves him. He scores. He breaks his drought. He's really emotional, like we said earlier. It was sensational, you know. And that third goal was an absolute peach. It was amazing. Yeah,
I was going to talk about that. The build-up of that goal, everything about it was just world class. That was Simone Inzaghi's Inter when things were at their absolute best.
Exactly. And that finish was
that was world class. World class.
Worthy of the build up. So, yeah, Lautaro is I think maybe the first time in a long, long time that we had Lautaro be the Moratti of the week. So, grazie Toro.
For sure. It was kind of the Moggi of the week last week. So it's
never a dull moment around here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's either. I missed an episode and it all goes nuts.
It all goes pear-shaped when you're not on, Mo. It all goes pear-shaped when you're on, not on. I wanted to just briefly talking on the Lautaro thing because we've discussed it. I mean, Alex, I wanted to hear your opinion on Lautaro about this idea that, I mean, if Inter are going to force sell someone and cash in on someone, that Lautaro and De Vrij out and then Bremer, Scamacca, Fratesi, Raspadori in. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, 1,000% I'm with that. I'm happy Lautaro scored a hat trick. I hope he finishes out the season on a great run of form and he helps Inter win another Scudetto. But Nima, he's already shown me over the years that he's too inconsistent. He just cannot be counted on for long enough stretches of time. The last two seasons, I thought he had the perfect partner for him in Lukaku. They played so well off of one another. And if there were games when Lautaro wasn't at his best, you tended to see Lukaku raise his level a couple of extra notches to kind of counteract that. And he just unfortunately doesn't have that sort of chemistry or that sort of dynamic with Dzeko or Tuku or Alexis and whoever else he might be paired up with. So I hope he keeps scoring some goals because that's only going to raise the price for a potential sale. So I'm perfectly happy moving on from Lautaro because I just when you have aspirations like Inter are building here, you just can't have a striker on the pitch who may go 6, 7, 8 games without scoring. It's just I've seen it. Yeah, obviously the slump that he just had was the worst one he's had at Inter, but we've seen enough of these droughts to know that they can happen at any time. So yeah, I'm fine moving on from him.
Yeah, the patchiness is an issue, and that is something that we've seen with him, that his goal per game average is pretty much the same that it's always been. It's more the patchiness of those goals that he scores like in bursts and doesn't, and that's not a very good trait. I mean, obviously, all strikers have that to some extent. I mean, you don't have, unless we're talking peak Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, every player will have a dry spell. But with him, it's 4 games here, 8 games now, obviously was the most, 7 games, 6 games, 4 games. I mean, it's a little bit too patchy, I think, for him to be the focal point of the attack. But I mean, he scored his 14th Serie A goal. So Edin Dzeko is 12th. And that's despite those two not really working well together for long stretches of this season. Right, let's move on to something much more negative. This week's Moggi, which we presented by Mr. Mike Pilucci.
You know what sucks? Super League sucks. You know what we heard about again this week? Super League. And I will admit that I briefly lost my mind. I threw out a flare to our group chat, our super secret group chat we have to the show, and I said, somebody make me feel better. To which Nima thankfully stepped to the plate and pointed out that for all the hysteria that was going on this week, nobody credible or even remotely credible reported anything about it.
It was just an invention. It was. I mean, the thing is, it's very simple. If you know how this is going on, it's being litigated. And it's being litigated in the European Court of Justice, which is the highest court in the EU. And before they produce a verdict, no one's going to come out with anything. Like, this was just one of those things where, you know, we're struggling a little bit. The clicks are down. The focus isn't on football due to, you know, impending nuclear war. We need to create something here. It's just, what?
Yeah, and normally I'm better about not falling for it. But, man, I bit hard, especially when the bit about Inter not being in this reformed Super League came out.
What was that? People were going off on one, saying, oh, Inter turning down money. And Beppe Marotta said it, I think, the best. He said, we made a statement in the summer. We made our position clear. Whether we're for or against it, now is not the time to talk about it. If there is something to launch, if there is something to talk about, you know, it's too delicate to say anything right now about it, and we need to do it at the right time and place, which I think is the most appropriate answer. I mean, this notion that I'm sure that they were you know rehashing it again. I've no doubts about that. But this notion that a relaunch was imminent is nonsense. They can't do anything until they're 100% sure, and the ECJ comes out with its verdict. Like that, yeah. I don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that's the emoji of the week that we all briefly lost our minds on. What was it, Thursday, about this? Just entirely stupid. I will say that I hate the Super League concept, but what I hate even more is this idea that the status quo in which lower level English sides outspend all but four other teams outside of England, that's even more broken than what this would be. So if there is a Super League, and I would much prefer some better solution, but if this eventually becomes a solution, Inter better be in there, because if we're going to just destroy what's left of this game and make it even more of a farce, let's at least watch our club spend some money again. That's all I care about. I'm so broken, people.
I love it. The thing is that I think most Inter fans would agree with that, to be honest, because it's like we all want the football we want, but we also have to, you know, live in reality, and the reality is this is where it's heading, and so I want Inter to be there. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, hopefully this doesn't happen again for a while. Hopefully my next freakout will be more mild. But the emoji this week is whatever internet clickbait trolls stirred this up. Because, man, the world's stressful enough as is. I don't need that stuff in my life, too. Come on now.
I mean, I got to give a dishonorable mention to German outlet Bild, who in the bottom of an article just floated in there like it was nothing that, yeah, by the way, the Saudis are buying Inter.
What? Oh, I saw that one. Yeah. I mean, at this point, though, we're all conditioned to ignore those. That one's dead and buried.
It's become like one of those things, like a verbal tic now, that people just say, like, hello, how you doing? How's things? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, the Saudis are buying Inter. And it's like, what?
Listen. They're not. We've really moved up in the world, because the old rumors 7 years ago were Ezequiel Elvezzi to Inter. We got those revived every 3 weeks. Now at least we got a global, global nation buying us. That's better, I guess.
Yes. PIF buying Inter is the new Lavezzi to Inter rumors. That is absolutely spot on. That's very, very well said. Right, let's move on to something much more comical. This week's Frog, which will be presented by Mr. Alex Donald.
Well, I gotta tell you, I want to sue Nima and Mike, and I feel like a terrible injustice has been served. The three of us, our minds have just merged. So I take Mike's negativity, and I have a few laughs over it, because I gotta tell you guys, the frog of the week is the fact that despite the fact that we have, you know, Russia invading Ukraine, and as Nima put it, and I hope it's not this dire, but on the brink, we're on the brink of nuclear war. When I go on to the football news cycle, I get to read about Super League again, and I see people freaking out. And then, yes, to put the cherry on top of the sundae, Nima, like you mentioned, we get Bild dropping in so casually. Oh, yeah, and PIF buying Inter. And then I'm in, like, two separate Inter group chats, and everyone is, like, freaking out, getting all excited. I think the biggest winner here is our friend Kello Samwell, who gets to host more spaces and get a little bit of mileage out of this one, because he keeps saying, hey, finally, it's going to be finalized in January. No, they're pushing it back a month to maybe March of 2027. The sale is going to be final. So honestly, I've gotten a kick out of all of this. And listen, for someone who probably watches way too much world news over these last couple of weeks, I needed something to smile about. And at least I've gotten that here on Calcio Twitter for the last week or so.
Yeah, I mean, that is, yes, our good friend Kello Samwell is just, yeah, he's this is it. I love it. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, that is that the whole PIF thing is just so ludicrous. And I mean, I'm starting to feel that that woman, Amanda Staveley, is going to have like a nervous breakdown if somebody asks her again, because this last time she was asked about it and she would know, she said, I don't understand where these rumors keep coming from. It's not like
she met Kello.
Yes, exactly.
Well, she was my favorite person. If there's something about her that I would make the frog of the week, I loved when, that meme, the whole nobody, absolutely nobody, still nobody, and then somebody says something. Well, that was with the whole Roman Abramovich thing and him selling Chelsea, nobody. Absolutely. Still nobody. Amanda Staveley. You know, I think it's a little meme that he has to sell the team because of who they may or may not be friends with at a certain government. Yeah. Why make somebody do that? You know, it just kills me. Of course she would drop that take when 5 years from now something happens with the Saudi government and they have to sell their stake in Newcastle. Incredible.
Yeah, but which according to the European to the English Premier League is they have legal assurances that the Saudi state does not control Newcastle, which is in and of itself the biggest fraud that I've ever.
Well, and let me add something to it. I know Nima knows this. A couple weeks ago, I was on vacation down in Jamaica, and I met a family there from Newcastle, and they're Newcastle supporters. And you know, and they were telling me how much they loved PIF. And then I mentioned, had kind of a laugh over all the Inter rumors. And then I explained to them everything about Suning, and they felt so sorry for me, and I felt so jealous. And that's where it ends for us, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I don't see Suning going anywhere, and I, especially now with the investments they're doing, I think they're in it for the long haul. That's one of the things I like the most about Suning is that whilst everybody talks and speculates, they just quietly get on with business, and so that's a good thing and a bad thing. But because sometimes you need to address these things, but you can't address everything. But the PIF thing has become a meme now. Like, it's a joke. unless it comes from Inter, where they actually say it, everyone is like, oh, it's time. It's that time of month again. It's time for the good old PIF to buying Inter thing. That's a bit of a joke. Right. That's all we had time for this week. I'd like to thank you, Mo.
So it's always great being back on the panel with Mike and Alex. The man with the golden voice. So
he does.
Let's go. Colby, Chaos Covington, round two, TKO, knockout. Let's go.
That's a good prediction. I've got Covington by decision, but we will see.
Well, fair enough. Thank you, right, Mr. Man. Alex Stano. Don't be a stranger.
No, it's my pleasure. And three people that I love and genuinely enjoy all of your company. So it was great to be here.
Mr. Mike Pilucci.
What Alex said, good show today, boys. Hopefully we get at least 3 points in the league and nothing too embarrassing on Wednesday.
And until next week, I'm your host, Nima Tawali Rudsari, wishing you a good week. I'm wishing you a progression to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. 3 points and sempre e solo forza Inter.